So we're here in the noisy Pleasance Dome at the day before the start of the Fringe, and I'm really delighted to be joined by Penny Jackson, who's the writer of a play called Safe, and the director, Joan Kane, who's also with Ego Actors Theatre Company. And they're from a little village off the, I think it's off the west coast of Ireland, called New York City. they're here for the Fringe with Safe. So
for the first time.
For the first time, yes. Ever. So we're going to use this word, premiere in the UK. And my first question, though, is I want to take you, Penny, to a moment in time before you were a playwright of this play, and then a moment where that kind of decision started to happen that I'm going to turn this thing into a play. Just describe what was going on around that time.
Well, I am a novelist as well as a short story, and I began to write a novel about a girl named Nina who had a very unhappy life. Her mother was in rehab. Her father comes out of the blue, divorced dad, has nothing to do with it. And then I was thinking to myself, God, I would love to see this as a play. Can I make it as a play? So I started writing some lines of dialogue, and I did a first draft, and I had a mutual friend introduce me to Joan Kane, who I had heard about as a director who works with female playwrights as well as other playwrights, and is just a terrific dramaturg. And I showed this to her, and I said, what do you think? And here I am 2 years later with a prize, wonderful reviews, and it has been a very long process of revision, revision, revision. And I think my advice for writers, be it novelists or fiction writers or playwrights, is you have to work really hard and you have to work with someone you trust completely.
But I'm going to go back now and still dive into your psychology a bit more. So you could have said, oh, I'm going to write this into a novel or even a film. So what was going on that decided the stage?
I love the theater. As a novelist, I write. I don't know what my readers are saying in their beds as they're reading. I have no idea if anyone is appreciating my work in the theater. I have people laughing. I have people crying. As I mentioned to someone else today, every play I write, someone always cries. And people come up to me after the play to ask questions. They're very curious. This play particularly is very provocative. And I love interacting with the audience. And Joan and I also believe in the educational mission of our plays. And we have talkbacks in the USA where we love to talk to the audience. What did you think? As a writer of a novel or a short story, I don't have that opportunity. I also am crazy about theater. I go to the theater 4 times a week. I love the fact that it's all happening there, and it's alive, and it's not just the actors, it's the audience, it's a collaborative experience. Mm. The director, it's to me, I don't even go to movies. I have nothing to do with movies. I couldn't care less about movies. I love live theater, and this is what I want to do as much as I can.
But in the, say, the short story or the novel form, you know, you can describe what's going on. In a play, you need to turn that into some stage directions.
Oh, you know.
How do you go into that?
Well, what happens is I turn into stage directions, but I hand it over to my director developer, who will look at the stage directions and say, you know what, we can do this in a more interesting way, and you have to be able to relinquish control. When I'm writing fiction, I'm the boss. Very rarely will an editor say, you know, I don't like this, we're going to change this. So there is a security as a fiction writer that what you write stays. However, I do think as a playwright, I'd like someone saying to me, this isn't working, let's try it a different way. It may work, it may not work. So it's a question of control. A lot of people who write fiction aren't willing to relinquish that control. But I will, for the purpose of making it as theatrical and dramatic and as exciting as possible.
So Joan Kane, the director, developer, some directors have told me in their lives that they wouldn't touch a novelist with a barge pole, as we say in England. That's the hardest person to work with. How was it?
Not difficult. Not difficult, but just different. It became very much about education. So Penny asked a lot of questions, and I would say, we need to do it this way, Penny, because we don't have the luxury of a film where automatically we snap our fingers and we can be in a different place. We really need to help the audience. We need to create the individual scenes and situations and environments, and we need to do it where it's believable in such a way where there's very few transitions. And Penny is very... how can I say this? She's very willing to learn. She's very willing to do what I ask her to do to make the play more flexible. So that's kind of the way we work together. I'll go to her and I'll say, Penny, this is working, but this isn't. Come to rehearsal. Let's look at it. And then we brainstorm together.
So just take us into that even a little bit further. Did you then, would you get feedback and go back and rewrite dialogue, directions? Is that kind of how it went?
Did I rewrite dialogue? Yes, not only do I rewrite dialogue, I kill characters. From my play before Safe, we had a father, and it just wasn't working, and I killed them off. And one advice that I really appreciate is kill your darlings. Sometimes you have to realize a character does not need to be in this play. For this play, for The Fringe, it had to be 60 minutes. This was originally an 85-minute play, which had monologues, which had more scenes. We had to cut them out. And it was really hard and brutal and difficult. But Joan and I sat there and we examined every line. And I am very proud to say that we kept the essence of the play. So it was a very good exercise for a writer to really think what is essential in terms of plot, development, and character if you do have to cut a play that's 85 minutes to 60 minutes. And I think we did a remarkable job, frankly.
And I've not read the play, and I've not seen it yet, but sometimes also one of the criticisms of some novelists turned playwrights is that the narrative is too present in the story and it lacks subtlety. So was that part of the dramaturgy to try and denovelize it?
That's correct. It became more part of the dialogue as opposed to the exposition. So the characters are doing as opposed to telling us what they're doing. And we have a lot of action in the play. That's very much a part of what I love about going and seeing a play and about directing a play is the action. What are the characters doing? How are they acting? And it's through their behavior that we understand who they are. Mm-hmm. And Penny was willing to put that in there. And we work very closely with our actors also. Mm-hmm. Like Debbie Brand, who has originated the role. She's part of our company, Ego Actress. She's worked on, I want to say, 5 of our productions. And I will say to her, so, Debbie, what do you think of this scene? Is this what your character would do? And she would come back to us and say, I don't think she would do that, Joan, because it doesn't feel that she would do this because it doesn't really make sense. So it's very much a collaboration with everybody involved. And then, of course, I get the final say. And no, we're going to do it this way, guys, because this is the trajectory of this whole piece. So that's basically what we do.
And Joan, let's just imagine for a moment, I reveal to you that the Big Brother cameras were on the rehearsal rooms. Take us into one of your rehearsals and describe it.
So, for instance, today we were rehearsing a particular scene and we had to restage it due to the fact that the seats are not rigged and some of the scenes are on the floor. So the audience wouldn't be able to see it. So we literally had to restage it. So I literally said to my actors, okay, if you were going to be doing this standing up, where would you be? Let's try that. And then we would try different aspects, different ways, different relationships physically in space to get the essence of that scene across. So it's very much about the actors in the space and how they're moving. It's not just the words, it's their movements. And also with the lighting and the sound, we very much looked at the sound cues, and some of them were too loud, so I couldn't hear the dialogue, and it was overshadowing what the action of that scene was. So we basically said, I need the levels down here, or I need it up here. And the lighting, too. You know, I'm not sure what this scene is about. Can we have a different effect here? It's a whole series of aspects of the theater that we bring into it. It's not just the words or the actions. It's also the lighting, the sound, the movement.
So, Penny, you didn't write this play and then move to California for 6 months. That kind of giving it away. You've been in the rehearsal room.
I have been in the rehearsal room. I have been developing it intensely. No, I did not move to California. I'm not interested in writing movies. I'm interested in writing theater. Yes, I have been very involved in this process, and it's constantly evolving. Today, we had to reimagine it. We had to add a line, delete a line. That's why I love working with Joan and Ego Actus, because I am part of the company. I am not the outsider. I'm not the playwright, and then it's goodbye, playwright. We're going to do this without you. I am there for every line. And, for example, Joan mentioned Debbie. Debbie today mentioned there was part of an action she did. She wasn't comfortable. And I was thinking about it, and she was right. And I said to Joan, you know, I think we should change this movement. And we did.
But do you think you could? Do you think you could pen a play, hand it over to a company, and then go and watch it 3 months later?
You've done that.
I have done it, and I'm going to be very frank here. I've been very disappointed. I had this play that was done in Chicago, and the two characters kissed in the middle of the play. I did not write that they kissed. It wasn't the stage directions. It was a director who I didn't know, who didn't care to communicate with me, who thought the characters should kiss. And it was, to me, if I was an audience member, I would think, why are they doing this? This makes no sense. So I am very picky. People joke with me that you will only work with Joan Kane as your director, which it may be true because I'm too spoiled here. Yes, I like being part of the process. I could not work with a director who says goodbye and closes the door.
But there are lots of plays up here that, because of the success of a play here, you know, 5 years later, another company in another country is bringing it here. Do you think you could let go that much?
I don't know. I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't know. Perhaps under the right circumstances, maybe. For example, the last play I did with Joan, I'm now writing a screenplay because somebody in Hollywood asked me to write a screenplay. I know when I hand over that screenplay, I have no control over it whatsoever. That's how it works. However, unlike theater, you do get paid for screenplays. And that's one way I've been supporting myself, is by writing screenplays and also writing novels that have been optioned for screenplays.
What's in your notebooks?
What's in my notebooks? I'll tell you. I blogged about this on your blog. I listen to people. I go around and I listen to dialogue and I write things down. You know, Joan will laugh about this. In New York City, I write about conversations I have with taxi drivers. I have a bit of a following on Facebook. I seem to always encounter crazy taxi drivers in New York, and I write their conversations down, and I put it on Facebook. And people love reading my taxi dialogues. In terms of what my next play will be, I have a play called Bidden, about a 78-year-old woman that's set in an Irish bar in Queens, New York, because I decided to stretch myself a little bit and not write about teenagers. I really like being outside myself and trying to imagine other people. So, yes, so that's my next play, Bidden, which won. I was the only American to win as a finalist for the Kenneth Branagh Drama Award that's sponsored by the Windsor Fringe. And I have to boast that I'm very proud of myself, because as a female playwright and as an American female playwright, I think that was a huge accomplishment.
Now, I'm no fan of spoilers, either deliberately or accidentally, but could you just give us a little taste of the play?
Yes, of course. The play is called Safe. It's about a girl named Nina, whose life is anything but safe. She has a father who doesn't care for her, a mother in rehab. Her best friend is anorexic and is obsessed with her baby niece, who she wants to kidnap. And she meets a kind but perhaps mysteriously dangerous man at Starbucks. And you will see what happens when she meets this man, and what happens when her best friend finds out that she's hanging around with a much older man, what happens when her father begins to realize what is going on in his daughter's life that he was unaware of. It's a play where I can honestly say the audience is sitting at the edge of their seats, because they just don't know what's happening. It's dangerous, it's very sexy, it's very thrilling, and I don't think it's an American play. I think the problems it addresses are universal.
And finally, a question for you, Joan. We're sitting here at the biggest arts festival in the world, you know, with literally thousands of shows here. What's going on for you, let's say, from 15 minutes before curtain until, you know, the end of the curtain?
I am so excited. I can't wait for this audience to see Safe. It did very well at 59 East 59th in the East to Edinburgh Festival in New York City, and I am really excited about seeing what people are going to be thinking about this play. I can't wait to hear them walk out of the theater and arguing with each other. Or will they argue with each other? In New York City, they did. They were trying to decide, is he or isn't he? So there's a bit of a mystery in the play. Also, for me, I get butterflies in my stomach. Oh, my goodness, is it there? Is it going to happen? Are they going to remember their lines? How are we going to get these cues right? All the technical things. I'm really anxious, because we teched it for 30 minutes today. So is it all going to be right? That's kind of what's happening for me.
Yeah. And I guess also, you know, the writer has to let go of it to give it to the director. Do you have to let go of it when the curtain goes up?
I sure do. I have to trust my actors, who I've worked with many times before. And I have to say, it's in their hands now. I can't do anything more. We've had a lot of rehearsal time. We've had performances. We've discussed it, developed it. It's now in their hands. I just tell them, go play, guys. Go have a fun time.
Joan Kane, Penny Jackson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.